Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for the ninth Sunday after Pentecost comes from our gospel reading of Mark. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things, and when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." In the name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus and the disciples are trying to get a little bit of R&R. It's been a long road so far, and certainly they are tired. The disciples, they had just returned from their journey of being sent out into the surrounding countryside to proclaim repentance and the forgiveness of sins. They had authority over the demons. They even healed many who were sick. Surely it was exhilarating, but it must have also been exhausting. As for Jesus, he had just gotten word that his beloved cousin John had been beheaded by Herod. And death, it's a horrible thing. We all know that. Death by the sword, certainly worse. And so he too is in need of a good vacation. And so they scramble away by boat to a desolate place. Time to recharge their batteries. A chance to console each other and spend time in fellowship and unity. But the people had a different idea. The crowds, they recognize Jesus and his disciples getting into the boat. And so they hurry over to that desolate place. And how they knew that Jesus was going there, I haven't a clue. Maybe that was a popular tourist destination in which everybody in that area went when they had to get away from it all. But whatever the case, the crowds, they beat the boat there, thousands of them. And as Jesus arrives, his eyes behold what must have seemed like a packed stadium full of people, all of them waiting for Jesus to make land. And yes, sure, he could have pushed off from the shore once again and found another place to go, but chances are the people would have just followed anyway. And besides, that isn't who Jesus is. For Jesus, he looks upon his people like a shepherd, and they are sheep. And you can't just steal away by yourself for a couple of days and leave the flock unattended. They would be lost without their shepherd. And so a shepherd sacrifices for the sheep. The shepherd sacrifices for his sheep. He does not grow weary of actually serving them. He lays aside his needs in order to give them what they need. Coming ashore, Jesus has this gut-wrenching compassion for the people. Gone is all thought of relaxation and time for himself. There's work to be done. The people need to be taught and they need to be fed, and so that is exactly what Jesus is going to do. But the disciples, they want their time alone, and I get it. They had been promised a vacation, and now all those people have ruined it. They seem to be more than just a little annoyed at the whole thing as they poke Jesus in the arm and whisper into his ears. And isn't it funny that they think that Jesus doesn't understand the whole situation, as if it's just slipped his mind that they're in the middle of nowhere and all the grocery stores are going to be closed by nighttime. Send them away, they say to Jesus. Let them fend for themselves, and then maybe we can finally start our vacation. And isn't that just the way of it all for all of us? Service to our neighbor is easy when service is convenient, when it fits into our schedule, and, of course, what we're willing to do, what we like to do. In those cases, serving our neighbor is as easy as it gets. But what kind of service is that, actually? And look, I'm just as guilty as the next guy. I wear lots of hats. All of you do. A pastor, a husband, a father, a friend. I love to serve my neighbor just when it fits into my schedule and when it serves me too. When I don't have to actually sacrifice, I'll bend over backwards to help people. But when it becomes an inconvenience, when it actually becomes a hardship to bear my brother's burdens and to help with all of that heavy lifting, I would much rather say, "Hey, Jesus, can Can't we just send them away? Can't they just fend for themselves? But again, this isn't the way of our Lord. He doesn't intend to leave his people wanting. He will forego what is good for him so that they might have what is good for them. That's the way of a shepherd. That's the way of a servant. That's the way of the shepherd who is the servant. He's taught the masses what they needed to know, what they needed to be taught, and now he's going to feed them as well. It sounds a little familiar, doesn't it? Kind of like what we experience in this divine service. And maybe, just maybe, the things done here on Sunday morning have a divine blueprint that's been laid out for us so that we might indeed actually receive the good things our Lord has in store for us. But the disciples, they've had their fill of serving all of these people, even though it wasn't them who was actually serving them. And so they come up to Jesus with some rational words. They do really make sense, because they think that they've done all that's been expected of them, and Jesus most certainly too. And so they say, the day is late, the show's over. We've already done more than we needed to, and you've already done so much for them, Jesus. You need your rest. We need our rest, and the least that they can do is get to their own dinner. Besides, once they go into the city, we can sneak out the back and we can find a place to be alone, away from all these needy, helpless moochers. If I were Jesus, I would think that that was a fine idea. Maybe a little harsh, perhaps, but necessary. The Lord helps those who help themselves, after all. That's why it's a good thing that I'm not Jesus. Because Jesus looks at his disciples and he just gives them a simple answer. You give them something to eat. Now wait a minute, Jesus. It's one thing for you to kill yourself for these people. But goodness, they're all needy and ungrateful and helpless. What do you expect us to do? We have no money to buy them food. And even if we did, we couldn't feed them all. And all we have is 5 loaves of bread, 2 small fish. This will barely feed us, let alone the thousands out there. I'm sorry, Jesus, we just can't do it. But of course, Jesus didn't really expect them to feed the crowd. What were they going to do for them anyways? Never mind the fact that they had just returned from a trip. And remember, they had been given the authority over demons. They had actually healed people miraculously. But it really hadn't been from them, had it? It had all been from Jesus. That authority was his authority, and so he was the one working all of those miracles through his disciples. So maybe, just maybe, he had the same thing in mind this time around, too. So Jesus would feed them. Jesus would take care of them. Jesus would tend to all of their needs, whether it be emotional or spiritual or physical. Jesus would do it all. Surely he would. He could do no other because that's who he is. He is a servant to the masses, a shepherd for all of the sheep. We would think that Jesus, being God and all, would deserve the crowd's service. They should be tending to his needs. They should be appeasing all of his desires. They should be seeking out what he wants them to do and then go and do it. Is that what we think the divine service is? Is that why we come here to serve our God? Maybe that's why we get tired of serving our neighbors all the time, because we think that this whole Christianity thing is about us serving God. But that is not what it's all about. And that's not how God works. That's not how Jesus Christ our Lord works. We don't serve him. He serves us. We don't come here today to offer him anything. He comes here today to offer us everything. Jesus is the serving shepherd. That's what he is, who he is, and who he will always be. And so, yes, he multiplies the loaves and the fish. Sure, he has his disciples hand out the goods, but it is him who supplies the needs for 5,000 and more people. And not just enough to get by. Everyone's satisfied. Belts unbuckled, bellies bursting. Not another bite could be eaten. He supplies so much that there's 12 baskets full of leftovers. Jesus supplies them with more than they could ever need. And notice the people, they don't even have to ask. He gives them everything that they need to support this body and life. He gives them their daily bread, just like he's taught us to pray. But we pray not so much that he would give us, because he gives nonetheless, but so that we might know that every good gift comes from the hand of our Lord. Jesus serves, they receive. There's no other way about it. Even when all logic would point to the opposite, Jesus does the other. Even when his needs, if for just once, should come first, he lays them aside as if they don't even matter and does what must be done for these poor, helpless moochers for whom he has gut-wrenching compassion. Jesus prepares a table for them. They don't need to go away. Why would they ever need to go away? Why would they need to go and search out someone else to provide for them what he has promised that he always would? Why would they need to rely on themselves for anything when he and all of his promises of grace and goodness is all that they could ever need? Why would he turn them away, ask them to do anything for themselves when he's come to do everything for them? Why would he ever stop being their servant? He wouldn't. He doesn't. Not for them, and certainly not for you. Jesus serves you. He is a servant for you. He's your servant, and he doesn't turn you away. And he doesn't expect you to go it alone or accomplish it all by yourself or get your own heavenly food or climb your own way to paradise or pay for your own sins or make amends for all the things that you've done wrong. Jesus doesn't ask you to serve him in hopes that a few crumbs would haphazardly fall from the table into your mouths. No, Jesus serves you. Word proclaimed, water washed, table prepared, serves you. And amazingly, he even uses reluctant, self-centered pastors to hand out his gifts. But all along, it's Jesus who does it. It certainly isn't me. If it were up to me, because I am a sinner, I would be just like the disciples. Have you fend for yourselves. No, it's Jesus. Jesus words you, and he waters you, and he bodies and bloods you until you've received everything that you need. He supplies more than enough, 12 baskets full in excess, all for you. Here, it is, all for you. He is all for you. Sins forgiven, all of them, each and every single last one of them. Eternal life given, even right now, as you await your impending death. Salvation from all of your enemies, even the devil himself. You don't have to go away and find it for yourself. It's right here. It's always been right here. No matter the time, or the place, or the need, it's Jesus for you. Jesus serving you. Jesus feeding you. And he won't stop. Not ever. He's your servant. He's your good shepherd. What else could he ever do? In the name of Jesus.